This interview was on January 12, 2008 at Tolleson High School. The interviewee is Renee Javier Diaz. My name is Christine Navarro. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm doing great this morning. Afternoon.
I have no sense of time, so don't worry. Yeah. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the area and your experiences with the Bracettos, but let's get a little bit of background about yourself, where you grew up and when you were born.
You bet. I grew up here in the Tolleson area, just west of, is that west? Yeah, that is west. West of the actual Tolleson, the town of Tolleson, farming community, born in 1944, born to Jesusita and Sotero Diaz, both who migrated over here from Mexico. I'm a first-generation American. Mom and Dad worked on a farm, mostly Dad, and so I grew up as a farm hand, actually, with Dad, and that's how I encountered all the Braceros, because they were, I don't know if they were assigned to this place or what. I really don't know that component. So I'm a farmer.
Can you tell me about a little bit about your dad and how he acquired this position that he had?
That's a good question. I really don't know, other than he came over here from Mexico and wound up working for, his name was Anderson. And the older children would probably know the story more of Takiwuchi, who was a Japanese, probably Japanese-American, that I'm not even positive. But I know that Takiwuchi owned the land. Anderson and Dad worked for him. And then during the war, when they had those internment camps, they hauled away all the Takiwuchis. Anderson, my understanding, either bought the land or from Takiwuchi, or Takiwuchi asked him to look after it till after the war. And Anderson wound up owning all the land then. And Dad was working for him. So it was probably promoted somehow, working through there. We lived, we only had one neighbor. She was right next door. Padilla was her name. I just remember Felipe. There was two daughters that I remember. They were older. And Felipe, who was also older than I was. And I don't remember the parents' names anymore, other than Padilla. And they were right next door to us. We were the only ones there, surrounded by fields. And a quarter of a mile north of us, there were barracks, and that's where the Braceros lived. It was as I was a little kid, from what I remember, so it looked like a gigantic barracks, and to me, hundreds lived in there. I'm sure it wasn't that many, but maybe they did. So there was a long barracks, and then there were some small individual homes. I don't know, 3, 10. I mean, I really don't remember. And I think the ones that were assigned there were the ones with families, but I really don't know. So we lived by ourselves, and so I grew up in the fields. I remember playing in the fields with that. 9 in the family, 3 girls and 6 boys.
Yeah. Now, can you tell me the name of the farm that you worked on once it was purchased?
We always called it, made reference to it as the Anderson Farm.
Okay.
Yeah. Johnny Anderson was the son who eventually ran the, and I'm 63, Christine, so he's got to be in his 70s, maybe 73. I know he's older than I am. And I don't remember the father's name at all. But we just referred to it as the Anderson Farm, and quite a few acres. I bet 1,000 acres.
Yeah. What crops did you grow?
I remember specifically working in the lettuce. You and I talked about the short hoe. I remember lettuce. I remember not honeydew, but the cantaloupe. Lots of cantaloupe. I remember eventually later I remember carrots. I remember those three. And watermelon. Those are the ones I definitely remember working in. I think they planted, carrots. I forgot carrots. So carrots was in there. I think later they planted alfalfa. But I don't remember specifically working in the alfalfa.
Okay.
But I remember working in the other ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you describe to me a typical day of working? You said you worked in the fields.
Yeah.
Can you describe a typical day of working in the fields?
Mm-hmm. We got up very early, and I still get up early. It's not unusual for me to be awake by 4:30 in the morning. I remember Mom making breakfast for us. The sweetest son was hearing her making those tortillas. I still remember those. We were probably out on the field by definitely 6 o'clock, maybe even 5:30 in the morning. After we would have breakfast, I remember the frijoles, tortillas, and huevos, eggs. We had lots of chicken, so we got the eggs from there. Remember going with Dad. We had a pickup truck. Dad had a pickup truck. And I remember driving with Dad to out to the fields, but it wasn't very far. I mean, it's probably less than 2 miles that we would drive. And then just depending, when we worked, I remember the hoe, working on the hoes. I remember tilling, I think they called it. I remember having those 5-gallon aluminum cans of water on the edges, so you couldn't get water till you went all the way down and then back again.
How long would that take you?
Oh, wow. 30 minutes, an hour? I mean, that's a good question. I never thought about time. I just remember getting to work 6 in the morning and probably getting home at 6 at night. They would deliver. I remember with all the braceros there, Christine, I remember somebody would bring hot lunches to us. And I remember, I think the food was pretty good, and they would serve everybody. I don't recall if they were paper plates or tin plates. That I don't remember. But I remember them feeding all of us. Everybody just take turns. We take a break. I don't know if it was 30-minute lunch or an hour lunch. Probably not very long, because it was so hot out there in the summertime. That's why we started early, to beat the heat and then get home. So I remember lunch. I remember water. I don't remember any breaks, really. There's no restrooms. We just kind of had. It was easier for the guys, because we could just turn our backs to people and then be able to relieve ourselves. And I kind of remember eating lunch and then trying to get a nap in, just laying there on the dirt clods and everything. So your question was, what do I remember a typical day? So yeah, getting to work real early in the morning, 6. I think we used to get home, like I said, 6 o'clock. I'm sure there were 10, 14-hour days.
Can you tell me, do you remember what kind of food they served at lunch?
Definitely beans. I remember the beans. And it seems like it was like green chili. It was almost like a stew. I kind of remember that. We were, hungry, so it tasted good. I think it was just water we had. I don't remember pop or coffee or any of that stuff. So I think it was just ice cold water.
What about the heat during the summertime? Was that brutal on you?
Yeah, it really was. But you're out there and you're used to it. So after a while, it didn't really. I mean, I don't remember people getting sick over with the heat. I remember we were out there and we'd always look forward to any cloudy days. They didn't ever seem to come, very rarely out here. It was real warm. I remember we all wore hats. Mom would insist that we wear a bandana to cover our necks and insist on wearing long sleeves, but it was so hot,
right.
So I remember wearing t-shirts, is what I remember, and probably had a shirt on and took it off once I got to work. Because I was real dark, I remember that. prietito, prietito, you know, because you're out in the sun all day long with that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about your dad's interaction or any stories that your dad might have shared with you regarding the braceros? And
Christine, what I remember about the braceros, because Dad put me in charge of them when I was in high school. So here you have a 15, 16-year-old kid managing 25, 35, probably even 40-year-old men out on the fields. Because Dad would take me, drop me off, and then he'd take off to other areas. So he really taught me managerial leadership skills without me realizing what was happening, now that I reflect back, because I've had many leadership positions in my life. And as I reflect back, I said, damn, I was learning that stuff out in the fields without realizing it. But I remember them being hard workers. I never remember them complaining, having a good sense of humor, because they were always laughing and teasing each other and joking around. I think they were singing. I vaguely recall some singing. So I don't know if that was during lunch when they were having a break, or they were just out there working. The one position that I really remember, because I did that as I was older, like again in the high in I was high school age, it were the cantaloupe, where the men, the braceros, would pick the vines. They would pick the cantaloupe, put it in this sack that they carried on their back. I don't even know how heavy that sack was. It had to be at least 100 pounds, because they would fill it up with the cantaloupe, and then there was a tractor that was pulling a huge trailer. My job then was on top of the trailer, and if this is the trailer here, there were planks, two planks that they would come up. Very orderly, they'd come up one, and then there's a board that goes across this way. My job was with the board, that the men would climb up, dump, they could unhitch their sack, dump all their load of cantaloupe in here, and then go back down the other one. So it was, again, very orderly. They'd come up one, dump it, and go back down. Come up one, dump it, and go back down. My job was to stack them. So I'm bent over most of the day like this, pitching up the melones. And then once I got them full, then I dragged back that board. I can't think of another word to it. And so that was my job all the way back until we filled up this trailer. And then they take that trailer away and bring back another one. So that's the part I remember the most, because I was older, high school age, doing that stuff. I'm sure my back was sore all the time, but I don't actually recall complaining or, you know, ay mamacita, you know, I don't remember doing that. But that's what I did many summers, you know, definitely 4 summers of high school, and probably even earlier. But so that's what I remember doing. That was a typical day. Again, that was my job. Of making stacking, and then my job was also water, to make sure, because we had somewhere there was that can of water attached to the side. Maybe it was on the inside of the trailer as opposed to the outside. I don't remember, but part of my job was to make sure there was plenty of water, plenty of little paper cups. Those I do remember were paper, and for me to put ice in there, to make sure it was always ice cold water, it was always full, plenty of cups for everybody, and to make sure I'm pitching these melones on the trailer.
How was it for you, since you're only 15 and you're supervising these men that are much older? I mean, what was that like?
Very uncomfortable to begin with, but they never gave me any crap. I mean, it wasn't like I was yelling them or anything like that. I remember, you know, if they start, come up and drink water, and then they start chit-chatting and taking too much time, I say, ora, you know, vámonos, you know, tenemos que trabajar. I remember me being more encouraging than barking out orders. I don't remember Dad barking out orders, so I didn't learn it that way. So maybe he was encouraging too. So it was really more, okay, nos faltan, you know, dos más horas. I remember them asking me, when we're going to eat, you know, cuando llega la comida, cuando vamos a comer, you know? Nos falta una media hora, you know, it's almost here, or ahí viene, you know, and stuff like that. So I think I felt intimidated probably the first week, the first month, who knows, I mean, I really don't recall. But after that, I mean, none of them challenged me, and maybe there was nothing to challenge, because they were there to do a job. They did it. I was there to make sure that the melones didn't get cracked or you know, that I stacked them up right. Yeah.
How many men would you supervise at one time?
50.
Okay. Can you tell me how you would... Did you have to show them how to pick the cantaloupe, or did they know already, or?
Oh, good question. They must have, somebody else must have showed them, because I never showed them.
Okay.
I just showed them how to dump it into there, because some of them would dump it from too high up, where they'd have the bag and kind of dump it from up here, and they, you know, if it crashed down, they'd break. So I said, no, you gotta lay it down. Now, once I got it, it was really just at the beginning. Once I got it rolling, I had them stacked up pretty high, probably this high, so it was easy just to put them in there, so then they weren't damaged that way. So somebody else must have taught them, and then as a new guy came on board, or, you know, maybe there was 10 new guys, the older guys would show them, or the experienced ones would show them how to pick them and which ones. That's a good question. I don't know we could tell by the color of them. And actually, I do remember that one guy was picking too many green ones, and I said, no, you can't. And I was able to show him by the stack that I already had in the trailer, because the good ones were very yellow, the color, they were more yellow, because if they weren't ripe yet, they were pretty green, and they weren't very large either. And then the ones that were too maduros, I remember that word, you know, I'd say, no, you know, leave those there. We don't want the maduro ones. So somebody else must have taught him.
Okay. Yeah. Can you tell me, you mentioned that your dad taught you, you learned the leadership skills at a young age. What other skills did you need to utilize at that time when you were supervising the men? How would you motivate them? How would you keep them organized? How would you hand out the positions or what they needed to get done?
Whoever was driving the tractor across the field was really the one that kept pace for us. I don't recall ever having to tell him to speed up or slow down. So there was men on this side, and that's when you asked me. I bet there was 20, 25 on this side and 20, 25 on this side. So the tractor was the one. And then if somebody would fall too far back, excuse me, I would yell at him, only to say, hey, vámonos, apúrense, you know, hurry up, come on, as opposed to calling them names or anything. I look at it as more encouraging. The other workers, if somebody fell too far, they would really help me with it, because then they start calling them names. Hey, you know, you weenie, and or all in Spanish names, you know. Hey,
what kind of names would they say?
The ones I remember is more calling them like mujer, órale mujer, or you're like my little sister, you know, and stuff like that. That's the part I remember. I know they cursed, but not a whole lot. I mean, it was really them cursing at each other, and it's almost like when they're behind me and forgetting I was there, and then they would apologize to me when they saw that I had hurt or something. So again, they were very courteous, hard workers, good sense of humor. So your question in terms of how would I manage them, that really was all just, okay, time to start. I give them kind of the order, let's get started in the morning. And so the goal was to go down from one end of the field to the other, come back around, and then you want to turn it off so you can go ahead. You want to play it back and see what?
No, we're going to go.
Or
ahead
do you remember?
Okay. Go ahead and talk. Go ahead and continue on, Mr. Diaz. If you
the trouble is, I don't remember where we were.
Okay,
ask me the question.
Okay,
again.
Then let's talk a little bit about. Do you remember how they were paid? Were they paid by hour, per sack?
Oh yeah, they were paid by hour. It was an hourly wage. $1.25 an hour. I mean, I really don't, that part I don't remember. I remember they were paid by check. It was a check as opposed to cash. And I remember that because I used to get a check too, as opposed to cash.
What'd you do with your check?
I used to save it. Is that what you meant?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then typical high school kid, you know, just save up for the weekend and go out with all my buddies. I was a year older than everybody, so I was driving when I was a sophomore, where all my friends, well, my mom, you know, I have to borrow mom's car. But I think just, you know, taking my girlfriend to movies and to dances and stuff like that. Yeah.
Did they work, how many days a week did you work?
Definitely, I think we worked 7 days a week. Because there was lots of fields. Lots and lots of, because you had to pick it or else it would rot. The cantaloupe. And you know, I think we might have even had honeydew. That again, that one's vague in my mind. So we had to, and there was lots of fields. Like I said, you know, if they planted all 1,000 acres, they had to hustle. So it could have been 7 days a week. I'm not sure about that one. For sure, six. Because I remember trying to rush on Saturdays to get out and go out that, you know, that night. And so that I do remember. For sure, six. And maybe even seven.
Depending on the time.
Yeah.
In the harvest.
Yeah, depending on the time of the harvest.
How long did it take to pick 1 acre of cantaloupe or lettuce?
I don't have
a
recollection of that. I think most of these were divided up into 40 acres. For some reason, the number 40 is in my mind. So 40 acres here. And then another 40 acres here, and then another 40 acres here. It seems like that's the way they planted it, by sections. But that's a good question, too.
Can you tell me what year you started working on the farms?
I was born in 44. I graduated from high school in 63. So the parts I remember are late 50s through early 60s. That's the part I definitely remember.
Okay.
I'm sure I was out there as a, you know, as a little batito out there with, but I don't think I was, you know, I'm sure that I didn't get paid for that. It was just, it's probably more convenience in terms of, you know, you don't have babysitters, you just take them to the field. You know, you're out there. I vaguely remember working with my sisters out there, but the family, it was almost like three separate families. I don't know if my sister shared that with you, Christine. But the first six were born right smack in a row. I came along 8 years later, and I have a younger brother who's 13 months younger than I. And then 8 years after that, the last one came, Gabriel. So it was almost like a lonely, not lonely, lonely child, what's an only child, and then Lionel and I, Chewy, and then the other six. So there's a difference of 25 years between the youngest and the oldest.
Wow.
Yeah, 25 years with that. And every time, most females say, oh, your poor mother.
I was thinking that.
Yeah. So, definitely the only time sequence is we were out there in the summers, and from sunrise to sunset. I mean, that's.
Did you work in the fields during school time?
On the weekends.
On the weekends.
Yeah, on the weekends.
Full days.
Yeah, you know. So if I'm gonna go back. I bet we did work Saturdays and Sundays. Now that you say that. I remember.
And it would be the full crew of Bracettos going out with you?
Yeah, they were always out there. Bracettos was always out there.
What distinguished a Bracetto? How did you know that they, I mean, was their attire? Were there anything?
I knew they were all from Mexico because they all spoke Spanish. So, and Dad and Mom always referred to them as Los Bracettos. The ones that I work with lived on those barracks. And as far as I recall, or as far as I knew, only Braceros lived there. So that's how I could distinguish them.
Did you see the same men year after year, or was it different men?
I think there might have been a handful of the same ones that would keep coming back to Arizona. But I think there was a lot of new ones. So there was a good rotation there. So I don't know if the ones that were here then went back to Mexico or were here and then went to Oregon or California. That I don't know. I was driving over here, Christine, I was trying to remember their names, a couple of them, but nothing is coming. I remember another one was, a couple of them have gold teeth. You know, in front, you know how that was popular. Mm-hmm. And maybe it still is, I don't know.
Would they get that done in the United States, or would they get that done in Mexico? Do you know?
You know, I never asked that question.
Okay. Did they talk about their families leaving that they left behind?
I don't recall them specifically saying anything to me, but I think I could hear the conversations about mi esposa y mis hijos. And actually, I take that back. I remember a couple of them would say to me, the older one said, tengo un hijo como de tu edad, you know, about your age. Tengo un hijo. Because they'd see Gabriel, the younger one, riding around with Dad in the pickup truck. And every now and then they would say, well, tengo un hijo como la edad de tu hermano. Or, es tu hermano, sí? Mi hermano, they'd always ask about, tienes hermanas. They was always checking out the women, trying to figure out, you know, with that. I said, yeah, sí, pero están casadas o no están aquí. You know, I don't remember what I would say with that. So some of them would make mention of having children. What I really recall, Christine, is them just singing and horsing around. I mean, doing the work, but what's the word I'm looking for? Teasing one another.
Did they have a nickname for you? Sometimes I've heard that there's nicknames.
I think they called me Don René. You know, I think that's. I kind of recall that. Oh, Don René, buenos días, you know, Don René, this. Do you need to? No, okay. Yeah. So if they had a nickname, I don't remember a nickname. No.
Okay. Can you tell me, did you interact with them outside of working with them in the fields? Did you, I understand someone learned to play guitar from one of them, one of your brothers.
My oldest brother, the eldest, Rudy, plays guitar. So he might have learned it from them. I don't recall interacting with him other than at work. I remember I think I went in their barracks a couple of times, but
could you describe it to me?
It was kind of like in the movies and TV. They're just long, narrow barracks with double bunks all the way down. There must have been showers in there somewhere and facilities, but I don't really remember those. But it was made out of wood, the roof, tin. Tin roofs, those I think they're called corrugated aluminum. I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if the floors were wood. I remember that. There was windows, so there was light coming in. There was those lights that are shaped almost half globe.
Okay.
I can't think of that the right term. Those were hanging down the middle of the barracks. I don't think I did interact with them because they were older than I was. I don't remember any of them being my age, meaning young kids,
mm-hmm.
or teenagers. So they were a lot older. So if they went into town, I don't know how they got into town, meaning Phoenix.
Or anywhere. Just
or anywhere. Yeah.
Like grocery stores or...
Yeah. So I don't know if the company, meaning if Dad or Anderson, if they would take them to buy stuff. That's a good question. I don't remember. My interaction was with them out in the fields. Yeah.
Did you ever have any problems with anyone? You know, sometimes there's like one bad apple in the bunch.
No. That's what I mentioned that. They treated me very well. I don't ever recall having any problems with them. And maybe it was because I was pretty husky. I'm thin now compared to what I used to almost weigh 200 pounds in high school. So maybe that had something to do with it. They'd leave me alone, or because they knew I was the boss's son. So, and I don't know what authority Dad had, if he had the authority to ship him out of here or not. I suspect he did, but I never asked him that question. So if there was a bad apple, never talked back to me. No, there were good memories, Christine, with them.
Were they?
Yeah, I mean, it really was. I mean, because it was hard work, you know, and I grew up, I learned from Mom and Dad the work ethic, that you work hard and you get paid for it. I don't remember them saying, you know, try and enjoy it. I think I picked that up from all the men, all the braceros, because they were laughing and whistling and, you know, singing and that stuff. So it was kind of they're fond memories. Working your butt off, but they were fond memories.
Do you remember hearing music around when you at the barracks or when you picked them up or anything?
There must have been radio somewhere.
Okay.
Because I do remember music. I don't know if the tractor driver had a radio. They weren't tractors. I think they were trucks. I take that back. It was there were trucks that had almost like pickup trucks, but big ones that had trailers on them. So I bet the drivers had music on in the radio. I bet that's where that was coming from. And I remember music during lunch hour. So I almost remember a big radio that somebody might have brought. They must have had battery operated, because we're out in the middle of, you know, in the fields. Yeah, so I do have, and it was Mexican music, So it wasn't any English at all. And I do remember them asking me different questions of how do you say X in English? How do you say this, you know? How do you say el melon, you know, melon? And cuss words, they were always asking me cuss words. How do you say this and that? And you know, I mean, I didn't know how to translate. I remember making up stuff, you know, for them. Is that the way you say it? I said, yeah, that's the way you say it. those were good years. I mean, we worked our butt off, you know, I earned a living. I knew I didn't want to do that the rest of my life. And that's why I went to school. I said, I ain't doing this the rest of my life. So my back must have hurt a lot then, come to think of it. And just being out in the sun all the time. You know, that, you know what I do remember, Christine? I remember the dust croppers, the airplanes. Mm-hmm. They dumped that shit on us when we were out there. I remember that.
Really?
We're out, yeah, they said, okay, ahí viene el avión, you know, hold your breath or cover up or something. I mean, I don't remember what they would tell us to do. But yeah, the plane just whoosh, and it felt like a liquid is what it was. And every now and then, maybe it was powder too.
Probably both.
Yeah, I bet it was a combination. That one day it was powder and maybe the next week it was...
Depending
on the crop. I remember.
And what did you do? You just sat there and...
Yeah, just, you know,
kept
I mean,
going?
It just kept going. I mean, because it wouldn't last very long. So that's what I joke. That's why I don't have any hair. That's what I tell people, because all that crap.
Could be.
Yeah. So now the stuff that we know how dangerous this crap was.
Right.
You know,
the chemicals.
Yeah, all the chemicals. So I wonder we're still alive. You know, what was that? I don't even remember the name of it, because I know there was some real dangerous that they've now have discovered. I don't remember the name of it now.
Did any bracetos get hurt while they were in the field that required medical attention?
No, the only machinery around was the truck or the tractor and the trailer. So I remember, you know, that's a good question too, that it seems like if this is the trailer that we had to skip like five rows. We didn't want anybody right next to them because that would be dangerous if they're busy picking and then they slip or something. So they had to be, for some reason, the number five sticks in my mind. It could have been three, could have been ten. I mean, so those rows were empty. There weren't any, was not any picking through there. So no one was hurt. A couple of them, I remember the planks, they were just probably 2x6s, and they had little slats so people could at least hold on to. I remember a couple of them fell off of there as they're, you know, they lose their balance because the truck wouldn't stop. I mean, the truck kept going. So people would have to learn how to climb with this 100, I'm assuming it was 100 pounds. I mean, I really don't know. And they just have to climb up those things and dump it and then climb back down. So it never stopped. So that was really the pace setter, was the truck and or the tractor, whoever was driving that.
Who usually drove the truck?
You know, I don't have any recollection of that.
Was it a bracetto?
No.
Was it a foreman? Was it
No, I don't think they had bracettos on there. So I don't know who those people were.
Do you know who handled maybe the paperwork at Anderson Farms?
Hmm. No. It wasn't Dad. It wasn't Mom.
Did your dad ever talk about working with the bracettos or talk about working out there?
No, yeah. And you know, that now as I reflect back, I should have asked him what he remembered when he was still living with us, or when he's still with us. But I guess because we were out there together all the time, that we just didn't talk about that.
Did you see how he interacted with them? Because you said you didn't call them names or anything. And did he treat them as equals?
No, I know he made it a point to let them know he was the boss. But how can I describe that to you? I don't recall him being mean or angry. Maybe his voice was a little louder. Maybe he spoke in a more authoritative voice. But, you know, he was responsible for all of them because Anderson turned it over to Dad. And then Dad turned it over to me.
Can you describe your dad to me, please?
Mm-hmm. Wero wero. Blue-green eyes. As he got older, white hair. No one would know. If you saw him in the street, you'd think he was gringo. There's no way you would consider him from Mexico.
Were they surprised that he spoke Spanish?
Yes. Yeah. People are surprised now when I speak Spanish. When I go up to him, you know, like at any of the fast food, and I know they're Spanish speakers, and then I'll order in Spanish, and they'll look at me. ¿Hablas español? Pues sí. Que tengo cara de gringo, or depending on who they are, sometimes say, tengo cara de pendejo, ¿qué? Ay, no, señor, no.
So, how did you learn Spanish? Was it
probably with all the braceros. I remember the older ones, brothers and sisters, they grew up speaking Spanish. And then when I came along, like I said, when Chuy and I came along, they insisted we learn English because they had such a tough time in school. And I remember specifically them saying that they would talk to us in English and that we would answer in Spanish.
Was that difficult?
No, I never. If it was, I don't remember.
Okay.
You know, I don't remember it being difficult. And Mom and Dad only spoke Spanish. So they spoke to us in Spanish, and I think I responded to them in Spanish. As we were older, I remember switching back and forth with Mom and Dad. Mom in English more than with Dad. I think Dad knew more English than he let us know. You know,
and why is that?
I don't know. I don't know. But I remember my mom, you know, that Mom would speak to us in English and Spanish. Mom read a lot. I remember her reading the newspaper all the time and asking me different questions. Oye, mijo, ¿qué dice esta palabra? But she would read a lot, watch news a lot, and was always up on current events. Papa, no, not so much. He loved the novelas. I remember Dad watching the novelas. But güero, güero, güero. And Mom was just the opposite. She was morena, morena, aprieta, aprieta. And so my tone now, my color tone, is probably the middle of both of them. Because you saw Rebecca. That's who you interviewed earlier today. So you can see she's güera. And she and I look alike in pictures and photographs. And a lot of people would always say, oh, you must be Becky's brother. I said, I don't have a sister named Becky. Yeah, you look just like her. I said, no, I don't. We never called her Becky, but
okay.
To her friends, that's she was known as Becky. We called her Ruby. You know, Rebecca's her name. We just called her Ruby. And I remember that more than once saying, I don't have anybody named Becky. But she and I look alike. And then Lionel, my youngest, the brother is 13 months younger than I am. And our other sister, Roberta Locha, we called her Locha. Those two looked alike, very similar and very dark. Not very dark, but they were prieto. So the siblings, all of us, got the coloring, a mixture of Mom and Dad. But Dad was, one of the brothers or sisters, I don't remember which ones, remember Dad being heavy set. I don't remember him being heavy set.
He tall like you?
No, he was shorter. He was a short man. He's 5'6", 5'7". Same thing with Mom. And I remember specifically at a function that I had invited Mom and Dad to. Not Dad, I think Dad had passed already. I remember Mom and my sister being there. And I was up on stage talking, addressing the crowd. And then once it was over, then I went down with Mom, and she seemed so short to me. I remember that. I said, damn, how'd she get so short all of a sudden? So, yeah, I bet Mom was 5'2", 5'3". Yeah, yeah, not very tall. With that, and so Dad wasn't much taller, you know, 5'7".
Did your mom ever tell you anything of your sisters or about interacting with the Rossettos or not interacting with them?
No, most of Mom's stories had to do with Mexico, her growing up in Mexico and the war, and Mom was pretty amazing in terms of I used to come and have breakfast with her, if not every Saturday, every Sunday. I'd drive in from Phoenix, and all of us, all the boys would get together. She'd cook for us breakfast, and you know, frijoles, tortillas, and eggs. And so every Saturday, all of us would be there, and definitely twice a month. Every Sunday, I mean Sundays, I'd come down, and if not every Sunday, and then so it'd just be the two of us. And you know what, Christine? She never repeated a story.
Really?
She never did, and she was telling me, she'd be telling, and I remember twice specifically. She would say, ¿Te acuerdas de esta historia? No, Mom, you never told me that. Sí, te dije, ya te conté ese cuento. No, Mama. And then she'd tell me, ay, mijo. And then she'd tell me three or four. I said, oh, see, I remember now. So she had a tremendous memory. Like I said, never repeated a story. And would know what story she told me. So I don't remember her talking about the braceros other than them working so hard and, you know, and sending all the money back home, meaning the braceros back to the families.
How did they, do you know how they got the money back home? Was it?
No. I don't know if it was by mail. No, yeah, you know what? I bet it wasn't by mail because I remember Mom saying that it wasn't safe. Los. She had another word for thief. Ladrón. It wasn't ladrón. Los. Maybe it'll come to me. But she said, you have to wire it because the people in the post office would steal it. So you can't send money in cash.
So it's possible that someone took them to do the Western
Union?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but again, that part, I don't know who it was or what time, when they would do it. No, I don't remember that.
Are there any other memories that you like to share regarding Braceros and your interaction with them?
No, that was really it. Christine, it was a good memory. I mean, I remember them all working, happy, you know, jovial, hard workers, respectful to me. And I really think that's where I got my work ethic of that old adage of early to bed, early to rise and all that crap. I still do it. Yeah, I mean, I have nothing but fond memories of those times. It was hard work, but there were fond memories. That's why when my sister said, hey, you know, this is going on, I say, hey, I want to go down there. I want to be a part of that because I want to let people know that the braceros were hard workers. The braceros were very caring, human. And I get upset with all this illegal immigration that's going on here in Arizona. It pisses me off. So it's like, okay, here's my chance to share and let people know that these are good human people, good hard workers. They have similar values as we Americans do, a family and faith and religion and all this crap that's going on that you don't know. Because I grew up with them, and they treated me well, and I learned a lot from them.
Do you know why most of the men came over? What would be your guess?
Why they came over?
Mm-hmm. During the Bracero program. Mm-hmm.
To earn for their family, to earn wages, to support their family. because there wasn't much back there. That's a story I remember Mom sharing with me. There's not much back there for them. There's no work. So that's why they came, to support their family. Same dreams. They want their kids to have, to be successful and have a good life. And that's why they would come here, and they wouldn't spend their money here. They'd send it back. Yeah, that's why they came, to support their families.
Why do you think the Bracero program has not been very public, publicly known throughout the U.S. in history?
I was going to say probably very similar to the internment camps with the Japanese, that, but that to me was really an embarrassment, a time of shame that America was involved in. But the Bracero was, I think it helped everybody out, helped definitely the Mexicans as they came over to work, and helped America be able to produce all those crops. But you never see anything about it, and I don't know. And maybe it's just they don't want people to know, whoever they is. And that's what ticks me off, because and maybe this might answer your question. They did a museum in Mesa, the history of Arizona, and not a damn thing about the Mexicans. Pissed me off. Not a damn thing about the Mexican Americans. And I said, God damn it. What, you think you guys just showed up here and we weren't around? But it totally ignored us. And so who knows? You know, maybe it's the folks, a lot of the legislators that are here come from back east, and then they come over here thinking, well, this is the way we did it. You know, back east, we ought to do it here in Arizona. So maybe it's they're the ones that are write the stories or buy the museum, so they don't know the history. And since Arizona didn't write about it either, they're not aware of it. I don't know. It could be, you know, I know racism is alive and well, so it could be covert racism that it's kept hidden. No sé.
Okay.
No sé.
Any last words? Any last thoughts?
No, thank you. I think it's wonderful.
Oh, I think.